Hello, welcome to Waldman's Words with Scott Waldman, which is me, and Cedric. I'm not going to butcher the last name. I mean, okay, fine. I'm not sure if it's Coban or Soban, but I can tell you this. I met Cedric for the first time over Skype yesterday, and I got to the studio today, and there was a last-minute cancellation for this interview, and I told this publicist named Jamie Roberts, who is awesome, by the way, so shout out to Jamie Roberts, that I would let her know if there's a last-minute cancellation, because she said, quote-unquote, I can probably get someone within 5 to 10 minutes, and she delivered. And it's just weird how so many circles of life happen, but Cedric, who I spoke with yesterday over Skype, approximately this time yesterday, actually, it was 11 a.m. PT, which is Pacific time, we had about a 40-minute Skype about Peer Tracks, and now we're here. So life works in a very mysterious way, and I'm honored that, you know, I'm able to do this so quickly. And also, I just want to give another shout out to John Fortner, who I was also on the phone with. So I really learned about Peer Tracks recently, and I would be lying if I told you I was an expert on it, so I'm going to let Cedric talk about it. But I can tell you that currently, right now, I'm going to be testing it with a band that I manage called Boomtown Crooks. So there's that. But Cedric is rad. He was really, really personable, and I think he is really, really gifted with MMA. He at least looked that way, and his image on Skype was like some MMA thing, so I totally wouldn't mess with him. I mean, I took Krav Maga in 2007 for a few months, and then my wrist started hurting, and I had to decide between being a cage fighter and a guitar player, and I chose the latter. So there you go. So if you're tuning in for the first time for Waldman's Words, maybe Cedric is tuning in for the first time too, or Peer Tracks people, or everyone. This show is on every single Tuesday night, 5 o'clock Pacific time, 8 o'clock Eastern time on Adobe.com streaming. And the next day, it is actually available on iTunes, and it'll be on the Adobe website as well. In addition, every Sunday morning at 5 a.m. Pacific time, 8 a.m. Eastern time. I'm just really happy. This is a definitely unique intro because I'm frazzled and I'm drinking coffee, but let's do this. You got to roll with the punches in this industry, in the radio industry. And this is not really, I mean, he is MMA, so his punch would hurt more, but this isn't a big deal that like the cancellation happened, because I was able to get someone awesome quickly. We've had Jesse Grushak from Ujo Music on the show, so I guess this is someone else in the crypto blockchain world, and I am so damn ignorant about this. So let's learn more on Waldman's Words with Mr. Cedric, whose last name I will not butcher. All right, this is definitely a unique episode, as I said in the intro, because Cedric, whose last name will be pronounced by Cedric in about a second, did this show on
Coban.
That was a second. I'll give you that. Wow. Your first word on this show is you saying your last name. But I just want to say, again, thank you to Cedric Coban for doing this on minutes' notice. Cancellations happen in every industry, especially in the music industry. So Jamie Roberts, you rule. John, you rule. And Cedric, thank you. I'm just starting this with a bunch of thanks.
All right. Pleasure to be here. Thanks for the invite.
Well, you know what? You got it. And we met. I usually use the word met in quotes when it's a phone call, but we actually looked at each other. So we actually met yesterday. So tell us about
Skype
that.
Skype is amazing.
Skype is amazing. And we're doing this call on Skype right now, but it's Skype audio. Tell the tens of gazillions of listeners right now what happened yesterday, and then we can go into your life. Like, explain to them that.
Yeah, so yesterday we were put in touch because we're launching a product, two separate things, where it's a blockchain that has to do with music, and we're launching a music player streamer, I guess. And we were put in touch so that you would be able to put up your content on there, whether it was bands you were part of or your podcast episodes. So we kind of did a walkthrough on Skype on how this new revolutionary platform works. And that's pretty much it. That was a nice 24 hours ago.
I mean, in 5 minutes, it was exactly 24 hours ago when we did this. And I like that you use revolutionary. Wow, you're very confident about the platform.
I was very cautious using it, but I said, whatever, I got it.
No, it's fine. Not only is it a revolutionary platform, but it will save your life.
Yeah, it's very buoyant. If you fall, Titanic, it could have saved many people.
Cryptocurrency actually saved my life when I was in a plane crash once. I fell on a crypto. And the currency saved me. So, no, but it's good to be confident about what you're doing. And people use superlatives all the time, like best and worst. And I'm like, really? It was like that the worst thing that happened to you? You stub your toe. So I get it. And if you weren't confident about what you were doing in a very competitive space, then I'd say get the hell out, right? So good for
you. I would say Game Changer is definitely one of them. I'm very confident using Game Changer because it really does. Once it's out, you can't ignore it. The cat's out of the bag. There's a platform that can, you know, it's free, no ads. I mean, we'll get to that later, but it's very hard to ignore.
Well, you and John were very hard to ignore yesterday. I was on like a 42-minute Skype call, and both of you seemed extremely confident and extremely capable. And we're going to get into why I believe that in a bit. But first, let's talk about music for a second, because I'm an artist manager. I was in bands, and I just love music. So what was the very first band or artist that you got into?
That's difficult. I would say probably Survivor because
damn
I was
right.
a huge Rocky movie. Yes, yes, Rocky. So
in
Survivor's
a
probably
heart,
the first thing.
Just about to and, burst. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Or if you feel sad, you know, that's that one where he's in the Lamborghini driving around, thinking of. I mean, it's not. I don't even think that is Survivor, but any Rocky soundtrack is really what introduced me to how good music could sound, and how it struck emotions. Like it really. It's really like a right brain to right brain communication thing. It's amazing. Other than that, I would say it was Michael Jackson. I remember my mom gave me like a Walkman, and for the first time, I heard sounds from the middle of my head. You know, normally, your ears triangulate where sounds come from, but as soon as I put these weird headphones on, I heard the drums like in the middle of my brain, and that was okay. I was hooked to that. That little machine was, I was going everywhere with that. So
well,
I would say, yeah, Survivor and Michael Jackson.
Well, Michael Jackson makes me feel like a survivor. No, Survivor, let me talk about that quickly. Survivor, when I think of the music from Rocky, because I had a CD, and I say had because I don't know where it is, it's somewhere. In my house, my wife hates that I have so many CDs because they take up a lot of space and I still defend them. But when I think of the movie Rocky IV, I think it's like about three lines of dialogue and one montage. So it's, and
oh,
most of
yeah.
that montage is Survivor. So I mean, I could tell you
no
that.
No easy way out. That's
no,
the one I was
there's
looking
There's no
yeah.
easy way. I don't think, is that Survivor? Let me. I want to look
I'm
this
not
up.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't. I'm not sure. I want to learn this while I'm on the phone with you. Rocky soundtrack. I mean, that's what this show is, man. It's a learning Rocky soundtrack right now. Okay. So because I feel like Rocky IV was the one that went to Rocky. I mean, I love most of the Rocky movies, and I was born in 1981, so I'm like Team Hulk Hogan. So when Rocky III, and I saw, I don't know what year you're born. I don't need to age you if you don't want to learn that.
But, 85.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. So you were born before Rocky V came out. But let's see, Burning Heart as because I believe Survivor.
That's
I know
number four when he's running through the snow.
Yes.
With his Soviet escorts.
Survivor did sense. Burning Heart. And I know Eye of the Tiger is the obvious song, but let's see. No, there's no easy, there's no shock. I feel like the best part of that song, and Team America kind of does this, is like, you're going to stand to fate. Like, I remember that part. Robert Tepper did No Easy Way Out, just so you know. Boom. There you go.
Okay, say that again. I didn't hear the name.
Robert Tepper.
Yeah. Okay.
But
well, I guess he's one of the first people I heard then.
Robert Tepper is the unsung hero of Cedric. So I guess, and Michael Jackson, I mean, how could you ignore Thriller and Bad and those albums?
Yeah.
And so I feel
sounded
you.
Great on cassette.
And you have an accent that is obvious, and I know the answer to this question because we spoke about this yesterday, but where were you born?
Yeah, you'll see that accent is actually very strange because I was born in Toronto, so my dad is from Ontario, so English Canada, but my mom is from Quebec, so I don't have the typical GSP Quebecois accent where he talks like this, you know, I'm going to fight you in the octagon. I don't have
and,
that accent.
And I remember that because I was in a band with a guy, I think I told you this yesterday, with a guy from Pickering, Canada, and he said that there were different, like the Toronto accent is different than the Montreal accent, which is different than the Vancouver accent. So that's what I
exactly.
learned, but I might be wrong or I don't think I'm wrong. But.
No, that's correct. It's
Yay!
Just that in Quebec, there's the French Canadians. So I'm there in the French part.
The Habs.
I don't have the typical GSP Celine Dion accent because my stepdad is from California and I grew up in Toronto, the French in the French part of Canada as well. So I have a weird accent. I can't really put my finger on it. Nobody really can, but
you sound Canadian to me. I mean, you do. I wouldn't be able to discern necessarily what.
Is it because of my flappy head?
Exactly. I actually am not anti-Canada. I mean, I am Team Terrence and Philip. I don't make jokes about Canada in that way because, honestly, Canada has universal health care. And it seems like there's, like, no crime. So I love Canada. Montreal, I said this, and you can – and please verify this. Did I not say that Montreal has the most beautiful women in North America? On the phone.
You did.
I mean it.
And I told you to come back in summer and you'll see even more parts of them.
And what I said to you in response to that was I am married, so I can look, but I cannot touch. I'm quoting myself.
Yeah, that's like your legal disclaimer, but
yeah, did you sign that disclaimer? I faxed it to your Twitter. I don't know if you received that, but all right, so and now we're just going to address the non-elephant in the room, Celine Dion. I think that when I talk about the greatest vocalists of all time, male and female, I always say Freddie Mercury male. For me, I mean, it's a subjective thing, but for me, there's no argument. Obviously, you know, there's no best. It's like the best for you might be different for everyone else. But for that, he's the pantheon. I said she because Celine Dion, she. I think she's the greatest female singer of all time. I think it's all coming back to me now is the greatest female performance of all time. Of all time. So there you go.
Nice. Yeah. I don't even know who I would categorize. I never actually thought about it. Like we didn't get into it, but I kind of stumbled into the music industry through more of the tech sphere. So although music for me was always a big part of my day-to-day, I never actually played an instrument other than like the compulsory elementary school, you know, hit this metal thing at the same time as 30 other people really loud and give a burnout or a breakdown to the teacher kind of thing. I've never played an instrument outside of that place, really, that school. I really stumbled on music from the tech space. So I would have never put any thought into who the best vocalist is. But when you mentioned Freddie Mercury and Celine Dion, yeah, I can definitely see it now.
It's all coming back to you now?
I'm not even going to give you that one.
You just laughed, though. So you kind of did give me that one.
Damn. We could probably edit that out. Is it your team editing or is it my team editing?
You have nothing to do with the editing of this whatsoever. Yeah. This is going up as is. unless you really like hit me up afterwards and was like, I really said something incorrect about the business. Can we please do that? In which case I would say, fine. But no, we're not. No, this is live. And I, again, Celine Dion, amazing. Robert Tepper, amazing. So talk to me about what you were doing that led you to our conversation. Because, again, I know how to turn on my computer. I know how to use Adobe Audition and record you right now. But technology, I'm definitely not a technology expert, but I can tell you I'm better with technology than my mom, who I have to give instructions on how to turn on a computer with. So there you go.
Okay, so how I basically stumbled into this little world, it wasn't even from the tech side, so it's almost as if I gave you a lie earlier. It was from the my newsfeed in Facebook essentially told me about a little gadget that came out that was called Bitcoin. So in 2011, there was a guy I followed, Jeff Berwick, who said, hey, there's this really cool peer-to-peer currency that is not owned by, you know, governments, banks, Goldman Sachs, etc. That was real interesting. So I really got into that that space through that little blog post. And then when I started digging into what this invention actually was, it changes everything. It's almost like the Gutenberg press, you know, all of a sudden everybody can read, you know, you can mass produce books. It changes everything. It looks like a little, oh, we're going to have books faster, but no, it changed the entire world. The internet did another step into that. And now we have a little technology called a blockchain that was so mind blowing that when you get it and it's not just like, oh, it's like stock and it's going up in value. If you ignore that part, and you dig into the ramifications of that invention, they're so mind blowing that it opens up most people's interests. If they're interested in philosophy, society, arts, you know, finance, anything you can think of, blockchain will probably affect it. It doesn't mean it's the last invention we'll do, right? But it's very, it's up there in the important ones. So when I saw that, I started looking at different applications of it. And then I stumbled across an idea. I came up with an idea for the music space, what we could do for bands and musicians using that little technology. And that's really how I met my partner. He's been in the music world for 30 years, so I thought blockchains were complicated. And then he told me how the royalty world works. Wow. We had a Sharpie and a whiteboard, and it was so complex. What he wrote down is how, oh, so you got the composition side here, and you have the publisher. Now the writer represents the publisher. And he had to fill up that board, turn around, and start writing in the windows so he could finish his point. So we kind of stumbled together in that field. I brought in like the blockchain side of things. He brought in the music world side of things. And we just started hammering away at our project, which is what you saw yesterday at the...
I saw some hammering. I could tell you I saw some hammering yesterday. So yeah. There you
four
go.
Four heads on keyboards, yeah.
Well, I mean, I would say that I was doing more hammering on the keyboard because I was doing typing and you guys were patiently listening to me type. So thank you for that. But tell me a little bit more. I'm real, because again, I'm going to reiterate maybe for the 15th time, this is not my space, but if some kid is listening to this show in Pickering, Ontario right now, wants to learn about this world, please do as much layman's terms as possible so that everyone can understand what's up.
Yeah, sure. So the original idea is different than the product we have now. So I'll just go straight into where we ended up today. We built a platform called Muse. It's essentially a protocol where computers talk to each other, essentially. It's like a peer-to-peer network. Normally, that's a bad word in the music space because people immediately think of
MySpace.
Piracy, torrenting.
I think of MySpace when I think of peer-to-peer. Okay, that's right. A place for friends. That's what I think. So there you go.
Okay. Well, it depends. I guess it depends on the generation. But a lot of people will have a negative idea of peer-to-peer networks because of torrenting and piracy. But what we're doing is taking the power of peer-to-peer and we're allowing a way for the musician or any copyright holder really to upload his music to this peer-to-peer network. Normally, when you're putting your music, so say you composed a song and you want to put it up somewhere, you've got to put it up on a person or a company's database. They own that database. They can make the changes they want. They can sell it. They can go bankrupt.
So you're in control of this. It's you, as opposed to right now, the Waldman's Words database, that would be mine.
Exactly. So what we're doing is providing a kind of like a public utility where anyone can show up, put in his metadata, and now you have a permanent resource that's going to be there forever, pretty much, where you have all the information relevant to your track. Now, that's all great. It sounds very basic. It sounds very boring, but it allows an ecosystem to flourish on top of that, because you know that if you build an application on top of this little data layer, it's going to stand. It's not going to tomorrow change companies, change ownership, go bankrupt. It's a little protocol that's there to stay, like the internet. The internet can't go bankrupt, right? Like Apple could, not it's likely, but Apple could.
No, I mean, Google can, but the internet as, I mean, it's like kind of like, well, I was going to say food can't go bankrupt, but it could. I'm trying to think of like a good example, like that can't go bankrupt. I can't even say life because the way that global warming, anyway. No, the internet can't go, ideas, as long as there's life on this planet, cannot go bankrupt. Is that a fair analogy?
I would say it's a fair analogy.
Thank you. Good. Okay, good.
So that's what we call the Muse blockchain, is essentially that little database that doesn't belong to anybody. And only the person that uploads content can basically modify it and have other people join him. So say you write a song with three other band members, maybe you upload it, but you want to manage it as a group, then you just give access to those people and no one else can access it and can modify it. That's the big game changer. For the first time, musicians have their content publicly where only they control it. So it's not in the hands of a third party. The big blockchain buzzword, or, you know, it's all basically removal of third parties. You have a lot of business models that are third party services, and blockchains are kind of a peer-to-peer directly service. So now the artist comes in.
I'm nodding my head. You can't see me, but I just nodded my head because that's cool. I mean, that's cool. It's DIY. It's your own terms. It's you, like,
precisely,
yep. which I like. So
yeah, and that part is the foundation of it. But what's really interesting is what can it do for me? Like, okay, yeah, that's great. Businesses can build on top. Okay, what about for me though? So this blockchain is basically a database where the data is publicly seen, right? Only you can control it, but anyone can see it. So we started a streaming platform called PeerTrax. What PeerTrax does is read that data, and it can show it up. It can basically display it on the PeerTrax platform, and it knows exactly who wrote it, who to pay, and how to pay them. So that's one way can make use of it. You can immediately start streaming your content on peertrax.com, and when you want to pull the plug, you pull the plug. You know, it's up to you. You control it. That's great. But the very sci-fi Star Trek-y part is that the Muse blockchain...
You mean there's a Star Trek-y part with like a tech person? I'm in shock.
Yeah, there is. And to me, it's the most interesting aspect of this whole thing is that the blockchain itself is the source of royalty payments. And that is a big WTF to most people when you explain that, because what happens on PeerTrax is that I'm a listener, I show up, I create an account, and I start listening for free. And so no subscriptions, and it's ad free. So there's no publicity either. So the obvious question is, well, who's paying? Well, the short answer is not the user and not the advertiser. So he's not paying by suffering through ads or a subscription. Okay. So what PeerTrax, the platform, is actually doing is only reporting to the blockchain, to that ownerless database, what was streamed. So we track basically four things. Which user, so say Sam55, listened to, you know, Celine Dion's song for 400 seconds.
Thanks for bringing her up again, by the way. I just want to say thank you. And after you, after this example, though, we're going to have to cut off and start segment two. But sure. I love Celine Dion. Keep going with this.
All right, perfect. So the four things are basically which user, which song, how long, and at what time. And it pushes that information to Muse. And now Muse is able to make the calculations for the exact royalty payments to be created right there in your wallet, right there in your account, your royalties pop up.
Wow. And you said that really, really quickly. You're good at this. You know your business. So you'd be surprised. So let's take a short break, listen to whatever these commercials are, listen to whatever these songs are, and we will be back with Cedric C. And again, this might be the fourth or fifth time I've said this, or the seventh or eighth. I'm stumbling, but I'm not going to edit that out. Cedric did this on zero notice whatsoever. So thank you. Hello, we are back with Cedric of Peer Tracks, with Scott of Waldman's Words, and you're on.
All right.
So we had a short little break, which the commercials were a little bit longer than our actual break of about 47 seconds. So you just talked about four things specifically. Now, tell me this. How did you get involved with John? How did you get involved with Jamie, even as a publicist? Like, tell me about Peer Tracks, like the inception of Peer Tracks.
Yeah, it's a strange story, actually. I was in 2013 looking at the 2.0 projects that had to do with any blockchain technology, and I stumbled across a forum that was discussing it. And I had an idea for how to use that tech to kind of help the music world and have, you know, more income coming in, supporting artists and more diversity. Even if you had a little niche market, you could still you would basically decentralize talent discovery. And anyway, I did that little blog post explaining how we could use it. And a big blockchain developer, Daniel Larimer, said, "Oh, I'll provide you the blockchain if you get an application done." But I had never, you know, been behind the wheel of a project where I had to build an application. So it sounded like a good opportunity. So based on a message board is how I just got into this whole subject. I started looking around for, different, basically building up a team that would get that platform done. And that's when I received a call from a guy in Texas. And
do you know what city?
He had been.
Do you know what city in Texas? Because Texas is a huge state, and I'm just curious.
Yeah. It was, well, he's from Houston. Eddie is from Houston.
There you go.
But he was at the Austin, Texas Bitcoin Conference in Austin.
Eddie's going to be on my show, by the way. I'm interviewing Eddie in November, just so you know, and I haven't met him yet. And Austin, obviously, is where South by Southwest happens, which, when I performed in 2004, there wasn't as much of a technology and film component.
Presence, yeah.
And now in 2018, it's ginormous. So there you go.
Yeah. No, I'm curious to see what Eddie's version of this whole thing. We see the world through two different lenses completely.
Well, that's
from
6 months
side,
from now.
And he's really from the corporate business side. So it'll be interesting for sure.
Peer Tracks is repped. You can listen to them side by side at the same time. But but no, Peer Tracks is getting the Waldman's Words love 6 months from now, where, God willing, 6 months from now, you guys will literally have changed the world, right? I mean, just quoting
that's
you. The plan. I hope so. I really do.
Yeah. So no, same here. I mean, what were you going to say?
No. I am done. Well, not for the interview, but so Eddie, Houston, Austin.
Right. So, okay, I met Eddie. I met Eddie through the phone, just somebody called me. And he's been in the music business. At that point, he had been there for like 27 years, I think. And I've been to the Grammys. He's a voter. And, you know, he essentially kind of explained that the music world is incredibly complex. So, yes, the technology is there, but you have to deal with the bureaucracy, the paperwork, and there's about 100 years of legislation when it comes to music. And that is not a small feat. It's not based off of, say, logic. like an application would be. It's really based off 100 years of arbitrary, you know, decisions made by humans in an office, based by who can pull the most strings and get the most signatures and who can scream the loudest. So it's very complex to build on top of that.
You mean politics? Is that what you're referring to? There's politics in music?
You know, patents and copyright world, and it's, oh, yeah.
Fun stuff.
Teaching you anything new.
No. Blockchain, I am a blank canvas. Politics in offices such as, I mean, I can even talk about, like, before I even graduated college, I worked at a summer camp teaching guitar, and there was politics there. So it's like I experienced that, I guess, office politics from when I was 20, let alone moving out to LA, doing music, working at law firms, which, for the record, I don't recommend for anyone. And now here. So there you go. Boom. Thank you.
All right. Yeah. So politics are everywhere. So Eddie really came in and kind of shone the light on that whole aspect. And then we essentially started our first project. We found the name PeerTrax. You know, we were going to create that application. Eventually, the blockchains we were going to use were kind of obsolete. Like every 6 months, the space was moving so fast because of that innovation, and a whole bunch of, you know, brains were jumping into that field and coming up with crazy ideas that worked, that scaled better. So we dropped the original concept. And we came out with the new one because the iron was hot in the music world to really be a new foundation for all of royalty payments. And we could see the space, like, from 2014 going into streaming. And every year the pie, you know, the pie chart as far as income coming from royalties was getting bigger and bigger. And at the same time, the pay was tiny. So Taylor Swift was, you know, causing a stir with Spotify. And we really noticed that was a big problem in the market. So we really shifted our focus to use this tech to make a nice little direct royalty payment where no human touches your funds. Doesn't take 6 quarters to receive your royalties. No one can cook the books. You know, it's really get stream, get paid transparently without a monkey, aka, you know, humanoid, having to write you a check and, you know, doing a calculation. Everything is just right there in the protocol, right there in the code. You get stream, you get paid. So that was where we saw the iron as most hot, and that's how we got into what you saw yesterday.
Well, I was very happy to see what I saw yesterday, because it's really good to have a live human who seems to care giving you tech support. I can tell you, as someone who has experienced tech support before, you guys were articulate. It's funny, I stumbled upon articulate as I was saying it, but you guys were articulate, you guys were patient, and you guys, both of you, again, John, shout out, seemed to not only know what you were doing, but care about it. And just to give, I guess, a frame of reference to the people listening, I was joking, it's not tens of millions, but it's actually 25,000 approximately each time the show airs. So you never know who's listening. And thank you, Adobe. Holy shit, it's freaking awesome. But I manage a band called Boomtown Crooks. I am in the process of trying to take care of uploading their material to PeerTrax. That's it. And you guys are helping me right now. And literally, as we speak right now, I'm waiting on the singer to send me the album artwork. And as soon as I have that and I'm in front of a computer, I will upload that and upload the 4 songs that we are choosing to do this with. Because I manage a bunch of artists, and I'm just going to test the waters with this. Because what I said to you guys was, like, it seems like a really low risk and a huge potential reward, right?
Right, right. Yeah, because normally we'd have to convince you to put your stuff on our platform. But in this case, we don't really. We just say, hey, remember your username and password. You're the only one in control of it. That's how blockchains work. And put your content on your own database, really. And then you're free to do what you want with it. If you want it to be streamed and pick up on PeerTrax that pays you, you know, directly and pretty much instantly, then it's really hard to argue against it, basically.
I agree. That's why when Jamie sent, I even said this to you guys on the Skype call. I was about to say phone, what technically it was phone, I guess. But that is just like, she sent me what it was in a one sentence, and it was fine. It was like, she was like, there's some blockchain crypto people I'd love to link you guys up with, you guys being my company. And I was just like, well, I like you, Jamie, and I definitely want to learn about this. So boom. And we had a really solid phone call that's longer than what we've been on this radio show on right now. And I want you to tell the people listening, I guess, right now, because we have approximately 10 minutes left. Tell them as much information that you can, that you haven't said yet, just so they know more.
Sure.
And so I know more.
It depends who your listeners would be, but if they're – most people like fairness, right? So it's kind of a universal. If you see something unfair, you get triggered. So the way we actually pay out streams – and when I say we, I mean the software we design – is that we're not monetizing music per se, we're monetizing attention. And this might be a little bit abstract, but if you look at historically, music and scarcity was the same thing. Like, you had a musician singing, that's the only time you could hear music. Then they were able to record them, you know, on wax, and then that became a product that you had to manufacture, ship, so someone could hear with their machine. That was scarce, and it was music. Okay. When the digital age came, the distribution, the copying of it is essentially free. Like, you need an internet connection. But the music world, instead of monetizing scarcity, they kept trying to monetize music. But it's not the fact that it's music that it was monetized. It was the fact that it was scarce. So, like, today we have to choose what tab to close down on Google Chrome because there's too much content out. So what we've kind of looked at is the fact that attention is the last thing that's scarce. Like, you cannot copy paste, you know, more hours in the day. There's no way around it. So the way we do the royalty payouts is that we calculate exactly how many full-time viewers were there today and what they listened to. For how long, like how many milliseconds of attention did this piece of, say, music or podcast?
Milliseconds? I'm sorry. That's you can literally figure out how many milliseconds. It's like to the point, point, point.
Yeah, exactly. Insane. So the application, like when you click play until you click skip or stop or just let it play through, we can calculate the exact milliseconds that of attention that was captured by your content. So say, imagine like a 3-hour Joe Rogan podcast, right? If I was sitting there listening to that entire thing, well, he captivated my attention. That's a skill right there. And this is what we're basically rewarding. This is what Muse is paying out. It looks at how much, you know, milliseconds of different users' attention you captured, and you're being rewarded from the royalty pool held by that blockchain entity that we discussed earlier.
Wow. That's pretty scary / fascinating.
It brings a lot of fairness because you had some, say, a classical piece that was like an hour long, but it would pay the minimum royalty due, while like a hardcore metal song would have lasted a minute 45 seconds, and it would get basically, you know, pretty much the same payout. So it was a lot of arbitrariness involved in payouts. And I think I don't know which company, I don't know if it was Amazon with Kindle, but some authors were starting to write books that were kind of like, you know, a catchy title, and it would be, you know, 25 pages long. And then they proposed, hey, how about we just pay you per page that the user read? And it's a system an idea they threw out there. But it would make it so that the novelists, you know, people would aim for creating quality and page-turning content instead of just a clickbait title, sort of. Yeah, you can't do that with articles, really, because you don't know where the pupils are at in the text, how many, you know, half of a word you've read. But with music, you can actually calculate per millisecond. So we're able to do that. If you captured 50% of my attention
You've captured 100% of mine today, just so you know. Thank you.
I just saw a big heart around your face while you said that.
Oh,
if only we were on
hearts with stars. Yeah,
Skype.
You can't see me right now. That's right. So you don't know
sad.
If I'm staring into the abyss of Twitter. No, I'm listening to you.
Just scrolling down.
Just scrolling.
Like comments, like posts while we're talking.
Well, I did add you on Facebook during the first thing, just so you and Instagram, believe it or not, just so like because I said before this call that we're going to have to do some social media stuff. So that happened during the first segment, believe it or not. So just so you know, the truth is out there. Continue.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. Now that the digital trail has followed you, you have to justify it.
I actually do. It's part of my job.
So, essentially that's pretty much the payout we do. So for the pitch in a nutshell, say for a fan, is that look, you have the same price point as piracy, which is $0. You have zero ads, which is better than anywhere else because piracy has, you know, dick pill ads and DTF ads.
Especially in my Gmail. Oh my God, dude. I've learned a lot about Viagra. And I use it every day now.
So it's ad-free, subscription-free, but you don't have to go through all the Trojan malware and all that crap. So essentially, for the user, there's an extra thing is that when you're torrenting and using any file sharing networks, you don't feel like you're contributing to the artist. You might really like the artist, but look, I don't have $10 a month. I'm trying to eat or whatever. So the culture kind of switched over to consider it normal. But if you have a system that has this same price point, no ads, but you can transparently verify on a public immutable, cryptographic blockchain that it says at 12:06, you listen to that song, you can see the royalties go into that artist's account. So it's it's more like a fair trade music system where you're able to verify objectively that your habits of listening to the podcast have contributed funds into that artist or that producer.
So you're helping people. You're helping other people, which is pretty sweet.
Yeah. So that's for the user side. On the musician side, it's even easier.
Well, you're being helped.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. There's no explanation required there. So,
well, helping and help and helpful. It's wonderful. I mean, again, I am not an expert on this space, but we do like the word fair, right? I mean, you brought that up earlier, and musicians often get treated unfairly in terms of being compensated. So I'm excited to see how this is going to help level the playing field of fairness.
Yeah, and a lot of times it's not that the middleman is out to get you. It's, they're providing a legit service. But they have expenses too, so they have to take a cut. And then at the end of the line, when all of those middlemen add up, it looks extremely unfair. So sometimes the deals are actually unfair, but sometimes it's just like a systematic issue where 16 middlemen working for you and you're wondering why at the end of the day you only have a percent of your supposed income left. It seems unfair, although any business that hires 16 people, will have an expense. So it's because blockchains remove the middlemen, you're removing those 16 intermediaries. And now what you're getting is pure gravy, essentially.
Well, I like gravy when I'm eating Thanksgiving food. And I like you when I'm talking to you. And we're going to wrap this up. So I'd say that was a pretty, I know that in the first segment we talked about Celine Dion, Robert Tepper, and Survivor and music, because, music is always coming first for me. But I think that you explain this well. And how can people learn more?
Yeah, you can go to peertracks.com. That's the main website. There's also museblockchain.com if you're more in the techie space. But if you just go to PeerTracks, you'll basically have the links to anything you want. If you're a listener, you have just sign up. If you're a musician, you'll be just redirected to the artist section, where, as you saw yesterday, you're able to just put in your metadata right there. and begin. Otherwise, social media, same thing. So PeerTrax on Twitter, PeerTrax Facebook page, PeerTrax on Instagram, or Muse Blockchain. We have both. So if you just remember PeerTrax, you'll be good. You'll find us.
Well, I remember it, and I'll be good, and I'm even going to be better because you did this on short notice. So thank you. Again, a shout out to Jamie Roberts for really pulling this together. Shout out to your homie John, and shout out to you, Mr. Cedric, for doing the show. The next few weeks are pretty great on Waldman's Words. We've got Tazy Phillips, who I guess one could say launched ska in Orange County. He's a big proponent of Sublime and No Doubt in the mid-90s. And I said in the intro, Real Big Fish holds a place in my heart. So he's going to be actually in the studio on the show. And then another publicist, Mike Cubillos, a homie of mine, referred me to John Oakes. He will be on the following week. So Waldman's Words every single Tuesday, 5 o'clock Pacific time, 8 o'clock Eastern time. Is Montreal Eastern time?
Yep.
So 8 o'clock Montreal time. And on Sunday mornings, every single morning at 5 a.m. Pacific time and 8 o'clock a.m. Montreal time. You can go on iTunes, download every episode for free, subscribe to the podcast. You can go on adobe.com, stream every single episode. I guess I've been doing this sometimes. I don't do it all the time. But Cedric, what adjective would you use to describe this episode?
Without preparation, come on.
Dude, did I have preparation for this episode? Please don't. Do not say that. I did a 40-something minute show with zero. I'm asking you for an adjective, man. Is that fair?
Okay, adjective. I would say...
And how can you prepare
for
an adjective?
For me, it was fun. For me, it was fun.
Good.
Yeah, how about that? Does that work?
That works. Yeah, whenever someone says like they're being put on the spot, I'm like, that's a dialogue. Like technically, like when you talk to someone, they talk back. But in all seriousness...
I got one.
Oh.
For some viewers, because you said there was like a gazillion people listening.
25,000.
If that's the case, I would say
25,000.
Rabbit hole.
Ooh.
Rabbit hole. That's, you know, if you start digging into blockchain after this, because it touches a subject you care about, which is music, you will now see it is not a Wall Street little tool. It's not money. It's not stock. It's a revolution in how the world works, how art will function, and how musicians can get paid, among other things. So rabbit hole. That's my adjective.
I'm going to crawl down it right now. So thank you.
All right. Thank you. Thanks for having me.